Our buddy Pierre LeBrun will join us here in just a moment. And Pierre had a piece in The Athletic talking to Doug Armstrong, the GM of Team Canada. I guess they did a big call yesterday with all the coaches, updating them on things. And a couple of things stood out. You could tell they're nervous about the goaltending. They're not going to come out and be in full panic mode in print or in front of a camera or mic or whatever. But how can you not be? The goaltending is a concern right now in Canada in terms of who's going to start, who's going to be available, yeah,
like
who you want
we're
there.
Creeping up on December, Hayes, and Carey Price hasn't been in a net once.
No, exactly. Hasn't practiced with his team once, let alone got into game shape and put forth a performance that makes you feel good about him at the biggest stage or on the biggest stage. So that stood out. And another quote was about how they're not here to build an all-star team. In other words, we're not just going to bring whoever has the most points on defense or the most points up front, which is understandable, but I think that should almost come with a disclaimer where it also doesn't mean they're going to overthink this and get ridiculous, because you're still going to take the best possible players. Look at 14, look at 10. Those were all-star teams. Just when you get to the third and fourth line, you're asking guys to play less, and you're asking them to bring a little bit more in a shortened period of time and maybe bring something that they wouldn't on a nightly basis with their club team. You know, in other words, short shifts, check, forecheck, play the system, get off the ice, don't cheat.
But don't you think when they say, what I take from hearing we're not bringing an all-star team, you know what comes to my mind? That's a shot across saying there's some guys that might have thought they were going to be on this team that just haven't played up to their potential. Mm-hmm. Or ours are what we were thinking they were going to do, that probably thought they were slam dunks and made plans for travel and family and stuff, but guess what? You ain't coming.
Right.
And I'm not going to pinpoint a couple guys because I don't know who that would be. Maybe have a little bit of an idea. But I think that's a shot out there saying some of you guys that probably thought you were going, you ain't.
See, I took it as an as well, just big names, and maybe that was even a warning, if you want to call it, or at least kind of, you know, letting fans know that this, you know, this player may still be a popular player, may still be a recognized name, would be the type of player that would sell the league at an all-star game NHL, but doesn't necessarily mean that that's the type of player that would be in our roster for the Olympics. Speaking of all-star, I will say, and I've got to look this up, because I did find it pretty fascinating. The NHL All-Star game is February 5th. It's that weekend, right? And I know the opening ceremony for the Olympics is February 4th. And China, so Beijing, is doing the same thing from what I understand that Tokyo is doing, where they want athletes, as best as they can, to do some sort of quarantining 2 weeks before they even leave for the Olympics. And mixing and mingling with a bunch of sponsors and fans doesn't exactly sound like the safest
type of quarantine. Andy, we were talking about it the other day. It's like, why this year? Why the All-Star game? But it's about ESPN, and it's about wanting the All-Star game for all the reasons that TV would want the All-Star game. But how many guys are just going to pull the pin? Like, it might be a record this year of guys that say, I'll take the one game. Hope, like, assuming their team would be in a position where they could do it. But if I'm Connor McDavid or anybody comfortably in a playoff position, I'm not even going close to that All-Star game. No way. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
How do people not have enough common sense to just cancel that game? Sorry, it's just not happening this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I certainly don't need it, but it's going to happen. You know, it's a moot point, us yelling and screaming about it, because it's going on, and guys are going to be appointed to the team, and guys are going to be expected to show up, and the league rules are going to apply. As for what you're saying, Andy, with the quarantining, I don't know how they get around that, because the games are going to be started, and if they're going to Vegas and flying over, clearly the NHL and the IOC can come up with rules. The NHL and the IIHF, I'm sure, can come up with rules, mm-hmm. Or an understanding. China is the one that's going to have to sign off on it all, though. And maybe they will, right? I mean, if they're obviously, we know the way China operates, they are going to go by the beat of their own drum. And if they decide we're going to make preferential treatment for these people, they'll do it. No one's going to complain over there. You know, like, they're just going to go about their business. And maybe that's what is happening here, is the league is like, we're only coming if, and as a result, then that accommodation is going to be made. But
it also just sounds
brings
like
up an interesting point.
And this should come as no surprise to anybody, because the league cares about the league, and they've said this before as well, which is why we've kept our eye on Ottawa, the Islanders, right? Because they've said if COVID forces us to start moving games around, then we'll just pull the NHL players from going to the game. So we know the league is concerned about the league, hence why they weren't even there in Pyeongchang. But to me, what that also tells me is the league doesn't care. I mean, I guess I gotta be careful how I say this, because you always care about the health and safety of your players. Mm-hmm. But I guess in some ways, if they happen to get, knock on wood, I hope they don't get COVID at the All-Star game, go to Beijing, test positive, have to quarantine before then coming back home, I don't think the NHL cares if those players don't then play in the Olympics. Like, that's not their concern. That's never been their concern. It's always been about representing the league. The player will be miffed. Oh, and by the way, it's not like they're going to get that player back right away. If you think the player tests positive, and oh, okay, well, that means, you know, he'll come back here, quarantine here. Beijing ain't going to let him leave.
No. Let me ask
you. Like, now you're quarantining in China.
Right.
What percentage? There's some stuff going on right now, and like, just with what percentage do you think the NHL players are playing the Olympics?
How many in terms of the capacity of the league?
No, like NHL players competing in the Olympics, like they're going. Like, what percentage would you give right now?
I think it's still close to 90%. I don't think it's a lock. I wouldn't say it's 100% guaranteed. But you've gone this far. They have to make a determination, I believe, as of January 10th, I want to say it is, January 4th, give or take. That's a month and a half away. So I'll say
90% on it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's still pretty high. I'm going to go around 90 as well, because I think we're getting to the point here where it is getting close. And I mean, again, I'd like to think the NHL cares about their relationship with their players. And if there isn't some sort of significant proof that COVID has completely wreaked havoc on the league, like right now it's affected a little bit here, which I think we all expected it would. We're not out of the pandemic yet. Now we're hearing about this other freakish variant now coming out of South Africa. Like, we always knew that it wasn't going to be a perfect season, I think, that it was, you know, their hiccups would be along the way. So unless the NHL can really prove that it's been a disaster, if you pull the plug, I just, like, what does that mean for your relationship with the players also moving forward and the PA and everything? Like, I would hope that they would care about that. I really would.
Yeah, I would hope so as well, but I'm not convinced that they do. I think they care about
Hazy,
the relationship.
I'm not doom
to an
and
extent,
gloom.
But
I'm just getting I'm skeptical right now.
Yeah,
I
think it's reasonable to ask the question right now: is, did the NHL bite off more than they could chew? When you consider this time last year, we were still in empty buildings, testing daily, no vax, and all of a sudden it's like, we're back. Buildings packed, All-Star game, Olympics, let's see. And maybe it is a little bit premature, or maybe there's going to be some hiccups along the road. There already have been, but will it be the ultimate one that makes them make a massive adjustment? I hope not, but I'm not ruling it out. I mean, that's why I wouldn't say anything's 100%. I've learned enough through the era of COVID to always stop short of 100% guaranteeing anything's going to follow through, because we know that we don't live in a world of guarantees right now. But, you know, as for the makeup of the Canadian team, I wonder how these comments, not going to bring an all-star team, you know, because it may mean on the surface what he's trying to get across is, we want different types of players who can play different types of roles. You have to have high-end talent. You have to have a high-end motor, and you got to be having a good season. But, you know, is the third pairing going to be filled with guys who are offensively inclined and skilled, or might they want some size there? Might they want, quote-unquote, stay-at-home defensemen? Do you want a third or fourth line that is more of a start-in-your-own-zone, check kind of line that can obviously chip in offensively? What does it mean for a guy like Mitch Marner? What does it mean for a guy like Morgan Riley? Because
what does it mean for a guy like Mangiapane or Zach Hyman? Are they sitting there thinking?
I think it's music to their ears. Like Zach Hyman,
absolutely.
This
and
is
you can't
music
get overconfident,
to
Hayes.
Absolutely.
But if you're one of those two guys, you got to be thinking. Well, you can't get too overconfident, because in a split second you could go on a downturn for 2 weeks and then you're off the team.
Right.
But I guarantee you, they might be thinking, somebody's watching me, and maybe somebody likes what they're seeing, which
yes.
I like.
Oh, for sure, and they should be, because they've been outstanding. But you look at a guy like Mitch Marner, who, for me, is as close to a lock as you can get. He's not McDavid, McKinnon, Crosby, but I have him a step below that. He's on my team. But let's say they had this call yesterday, and Cooper's like, I don't have him in my top six. Okay, so if he's in the bottom six, what
role
is he
playing? Does it make
sense
to bring him?
Does it make, like, that might be a legitimate conversation. That would be shocking, I think, to a lot of Canadians, shocking to a lot of Leaf fans. Same thing with Riley. I don't have him in my top four, so he's on my third pairing. It's him or Darnell Nurse. Very different styles of players.
Mm-hmm.
All-star player is a Morgan Riley type. Darnell Nurse, not so much. Also, an elite player. I mean, we're talking elite guys here, clearly. Here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Pierre, we were citing your conversation with Doug Armstrong, GM of Team Canada. What was your interpretation of the quote-unquote, we're not bringing an all-star team comment?
Yeah, it's funny. I was listening to you guys in the preamble there, and bang on. That is the quote that made me think the most after our interview yesterday, that even though on the surface maybe Doug Armstrong wasn't saying anything too shocking, I think if you dig deep and try to, you know, read between the lines of that quote, I think he's preparing us and whoever's reading that interview that there's going to be some pretty big names left off. And listen, that's always the case anyway, but I think it's clear from his comments that, and keep this in mind too, and I got into this in the piece, that he was part of the staff for 2010 and 2014 under Steve Yzerman. Mm-hmm. He was there when Steve Yzerman got absolutely hammered, even after Canada won gold for not taking us, you know, I think it was maybe Stamkos in 2010 or St. Louis in 2014. St. Louis eventually got on because of the Stamkos injury. But my point is, only in this country would you still have Steve Yzerman second guess after two consecutive gold medals at the Olympics. So Doug Armstrong knows what he's getting involved in here. And I think that comment was telling to me, too. He's basically, like, especially the comment, you know, we're not taking the top eight offensive defensemen.
Mm-hmm. So, Pierre, what do you think?
If there's a name, sorry, O'Dog, if there's a name that came to mind when I heard that, I got to be careful because we didn't get into names. I wonder what that means for Dougie Hamilton, for example, given that on the right side, Petrangelo's already been named. Kel McCarr is a lock. And Drew Doughty, I think, after he comes back from injury here, I think he's got some pedigree sway with this management group. So does a guy like Dougie Hamilton get left off, you know?
But what, do you think the message was, I really like some guys like Mangiapane or Hyman, and I really like what they're doing? Or do you think the message was more directed at the guys that there was disappointment in?
I'd say a bit of both, O'Dog. And I, you know, Mangiapane is a great name to bring up. Look what he's doing, and look what he did at the World last year for Canada, too.
Yeah.
And that's always been part, no matter what people think of it. You go to the World and you say yes, where a lot of players say no, and you play well for Canada at the World, that's like a tiebreaker, a little ingredient sometimes when they do the Olympic team. For better or for worse, I'm just telling you. That's always been the case with Hockey Canada. So keep that in mind. But yeah, I think it's, you know, if you've had a bad opening couple months, now you guys mentioned Marner. I mean, he's been terrific, and so his stock will have risen, I think, in Team Canada's eyes. But I will tell you, his stock certainly took a hit after the first round of the playoffs.
Pierre,
you know, it had to.
About Mangiapane again, I can remember every World Championships, I said no thanks. I was like, I'm done. My season's over. I'm not going to the World Championships. And as they should have been, they weren't happy with that. Because when the Olympics came around, I thought I was going to be named at the summer camp, and they were like, I had 41 goals, and they're like, not even close. Mm. Do you think Mangiapane gets any street cred for going over to the Worlds where it wasn't exactly a star-studded team, or they don't care about that?
No, I feel like it's a tiebreaker element. It doesn't mean that you get on the team because of it, but if you're in a group of three or four guys that the management staff and the coaching staff are really torn over, that could be a little boost. Fact that you answer the call. There's no question about it. And, you know, Ryan Smith back in your era, O'Dog, was a great example. And not to say he didn't deserve to be on the team in Salt Lake, but he was certainly one of the younger players that made that roster in Salt Lake, really veteran team. And I think it's clear that because he was on his way to representing Canada almost every year of the World, if you remember. That's why we nicknamed him Captain Canada. So it is something that becomes part of your portfolio, I think, if you're a Canadian player. Because it just seems harder than ever to convince players to go over.
Yeah, Pierre, firstly, condolences on the Cowboys' loss. Put in a good fight. Fell short.
Losers.
You know I was always going to get that in.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Oh, I wasn't trying to bring back some bad memories of how we started the show. But anyways, interesting point made by you, because it actually leads into my question here about the goaltending, because you had said Mitch Marner's stock fell because of the first round of the playoffs, right? Because here we are so much when it comes to the Olympics. It's about the here and now. What have you done for me lately? But I guess you can't help but think, well, how does that player perform in the big moments and in the big games? Because
right.
That's exactly what the Olympics are. Do you feel that's also the case, though, when it comes to Carey Price, who in the regular season Obviously, this year we haven't even seen him yet. But also, this is a guy who in the regular season has us having conversations about him being done and it's too big of a contract and who's going to take it, and then shows up in the playoffs. Like, do you think that could work the reverse when it comes to Carey Price and still selecting him for the Olympics?
Bang on, Andy. And first of all, I can't let your Cowboys dig go by without a quick comment. I will tell you the silver lining is that I did decide to dress Dalton Schultz on my fantasy team for this week, and he had a very nice day yesterday.
That's so good to hear.
Congratulations.
Just thought I'd throw that in there. That made me stupid. I asked our Armstrong in the piece about Carey Price, and he was very careful what he said because, again, everyone involved wants to be really cautious about, you know, Carey coming back and dealing with things that are bigger than hockey. But I will tell you, again, reading between the lines, Team Canada will do, they will do all they can to open the door to Carey Price. They want him, and if he thinks he's ready physically and mentally, I think he's on the team. And whereas a lot of other players, to your point, Andy, have to jump through all these hoops and prove, you know, every night here for the first 3 months where their game is at, because of Canada's goaltending situation, as Doug Armstrong said in the piece, it's not as concrete as it used to be. I think if Carey Price comes back and plays 5 solid games and feels good and tells Team Canada he feels good, that's it. He's on. Like, an 80% Carey Price is good enough for Team Canada would be my read on the situation.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider, I think we might have a first tonight in Anaheim. Ottawa's in Anaheim. I don't have any recollection of a goalie being a healthy scratch in the history of the National Hockey League.
Is that what it's listed as?
He's a healthy tonight. Matt Murray is a healthy. So Anton Forsberg will start. Gustafson will back him up. They have 3 goalies on the road because Murray's so unpredictable and he's hurt all the time. But he's healthy. He can play. He can dress. And he's not tonight. And DJ Smith has confirmed it. He's a healthy scratch. I've never seen that before from the presumed starter. Imagine just being
healthy. It's funny.
Scratch.
I don't know. It sounds weird to say it. A goalie
healthy scratch. But Andy, I've never heard of anything like this before.
Dude, I played and I never have. Like going up to Sean Burke or somebody, actually, you're scratched tonight.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
No. Not because you broke a team rule. You're brutal. You're scratched. We can't even have you back up. This feels like an absolute grenade in Ottawa, Pierre. Like this has got to be the end of the road, but how do you get rid of the contract? What do they do with Matt Murray in Ottawa?
Well, all he can do, like, you know, a team that doesn't mind spending would wait till the offseason to buy him out, even though that hurts. But I said a team with normal spending. I don't know that Eugene Melnyk's a big fan of buyouts. And, you know, by the way, that game's already started. They're in the first period intermission on TSM Regional. But, that contract really is an issue. And again, one thing I try to say when these things develop is that, at least for myself anyway, be sure to go back and be honest about your own comments when it was signed. I thought he was an excellent pickup at the time.
Me too.
So I don't know. I guess I just thought this guy would rebound. I think Noodles felt the same way, and he just hasn't. And I mean, a contract pretty much is immovable unless you're taking back another contract in return that's similar. We've seen those type of deals in the past, right? A problem for a problem. And don't forget, in the greater context of this Ottawa Senators season, I think we've kind of forgotten about it, at least those of us not living in Ottawa because of their COVID outbreak and everything else. You know, Pierre Dorion came out at camp and said, you know, they're done the rebuild. They expected bigger things for this team this year. They weren't expecting to be a cellar dweller anymore. And again, it's hard to totally judge this team with what's happened with COVID, but they're not playing very good. And so there is some pressure to that situation, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I remember asking someone in the organization before the season started, well, is it Matt Murray job to lose, or how are you guys going to figure out the goaltending? Because it always feels like Gustafson actually gives them their best chance to win. And the answer I got was it was going to be a meritocracy, that it's no one's job to lose, that they're going to ride the hot end. And I think that's played out, actually.
Pierre, is it a situation like Habs fans, Canucks fans, they're losing it and nothing's happening? Is it just to a point where the fan base of those organizations, you could probably throw Ottawa in there right now too, it's like, this is what we got this year and take it or leave it, go to the game or don't, because nothing seems to happen. Like, you can't pull the trigger on trades. Nobody's getting fired or, like, is that what it is? Like, deal with this? Because fan bases be going crazy.
No one's losing it like an Canucks fan. Let's just make sure they get their own standing in there. And then, I think the temperature's way hotter there than anywhere else. And, you know, I'm telling you, and I'm actually driving into TSN right now to do a Montreal Buffalo game just to complete one of my dreams for this week. Just kidding.
What a game that'll be. I look forward to it.
I actually am looking forward to it because I think both teams are pretty desperate. So I think it's going to be a good game. But my point being, I think, again, social media is, I guess, not scientific, you know. But I would tell you, and I think I've told you guys this before, I'm pretty plugged into that scene and in French and in English. While there's some anger, I think there's a bit more resignation than compared to Vancouver in the sense that, hey, Mark Bergevin's contract is up at the end of the year. Clearly, Jeff Molson hasn't extended him. So I think Habs fans have a sense that change is coming, and that's a certainty. Whereas, you know, I don't know what Canucks fans are thinking right now because they want change and there's no guarantee they're getting it. And I think that would be the difference between the two markets. I think Ottawa hasn't got to the anger level yet, again, because of the COVID outbreak and their young team. But if they're still losing games a month from now and sitting there with Montreal near the bottom, I think that'll be a different story.
Great stuff, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Right on, right on. All right, guys.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.